Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a two for Tuesday, and that means that you can win a couple Red Sox tickets every hour all the way up until four today. And I have a code word that you are required to use when you call to win, which I will give to you in a moment. This is John from Quincy. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
So, you know, this thing with Keenan's Law, you don't need it. The problem here is the Gaming Commission isn't enforcing the laws that are already on the books. If you go to a casino and you gamble there, they're supposed to send you every month your win-loss information, how much you bet, how much you won, how much you lost, so you can make an informed decision of do you gamble, and if so, how much. But they're not doing it. And the Gaming Commission is not enforcing it. So rather than trying to change the law, let's enforce the law that we have already that's there to protect the consumers now, so they make an informed choice.
John, the consumers are adults. They don't need to be protected when it comes to gambling. It's their money. If I want to gamble,
absolutely,
If I go out and make my money and I want to gamble $1,000 a day of it, then the state has zero. This guy here in Massachusetts, if you're just joining us, this state senator John Keenan.
It'd be awesome to make $365,000 a year.
John Keenan wants to pass the Better Health Act, and that's BETTOR. and prevent you from wagering what you want to wager in a day. He wants to put a limit on it. He wants to get rid of sports betting advertisements during game broadcasts as if, like, I mean...
Can I play devil's advocate in one element to this, though?
Sure.
Why do we hold bars accountable for people drinking too much and leaving?
Because that's the way it's always been.
It's not the guy's fault behind fart.
They could kill somebody.
Of course.
Yeah, that's true.
But so you don't, that, now but with I, Uber, you can get home. I mean,
but I would still say that to me, it's always been crazy that a bartender who is serving, you know, 100 people. Like, think about a bartender at the Cask and Flagon on Friday for the home opener.
Impossible.
And is supposed to determine in 30 seconds or a minute whether somebody should have another drink. It's on. We try to eliminate all personal responsibility that is on the individual. And you just, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Like, people are, we're not 12 years old in this state.
Right.
Like, if I want to dip and I want to dip flavored tobacco, I should be able to dip flavored tobacco.
Right.
Like, it's none of your beeswax, dude.
They become, rather than a politician, they try to be parents.
Yeah. So, all right. I have chosen today's code word. It has nothing to do with anybody that is currently on this Boston Red Sox team, but the code word today is whiff.
All right.
Nice. All right. So very simple. Every half an hour. So on the 30s, as we like to say in the radio biz, Curtis, from 8:30 all the way up until 3:30.
Bottom of the hour.
You have to be caller number 9 and you have to know the code word and you will win yourself a couple Red Sox tickets for this upcoming season at Fenway Park.
Wow.
All right? That's the way it works on Two for Tuesday. And the code word this morning is whiff. We got leads left. One from Wiggy right now. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I have a lead, but then Jackson inspired me. So I don't know if I should stick to my NBA lead or my inspirational lead from Jackson.
Huh. I don't know. What does everybody think?
Yeah, give us the inspirational one for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Curtis?
I would say, Wiggy, why don't we just start it?
All right, okay. So I'll give you, because they're both really quick. NBA, eliminate the 82-game season, go to about 65, 66 games, because these last 15 games that we've been waiting for the playoffs to get here is just absolutely useless. I want playoff basketball. Yeah. And I want to see it now.
So that means with load management that the NBA stars will actually play in 32 or 33 regular, 32, 33 regular season games.
I think you'd have to play in 62 games to be eligible for awards. I think the NBA awards thing is, I want to say it's like 60 or 62 games. So if you eliminated it, then your stars would, in order for them to be eligible for the awards, they'd have to play in the 62 games, but there'd only be four or five more games that they could sit out or something like that. So you would get that. It'd be a less of a load on them, and we would have playoff basketball than having to sit through the last three, 4 weeks of the season and just watch horrible stuff.
Right.
And then this is my life hack from Jack. Thank you, Big Crack, for helping me out here.
You got it.
It just came out the other day, but I would say, and I would employ you. Is it employ?
Implore.
Implore.
You are employed.
To go and watch Mobland, because it is, through one episode, if it continues down this road, it will be the best TV show out there. It's Tom Hardy. It's Piers Brosnan.
What platform is it on?
Oh, geez. MTV's platform, whatever the MTV platform is.
Okay. Paramount Plus?
I believe it's Paramount Plus.
Yeah, it might be Paramount Plus. But it's...
And it is Piers Brosnan. Tom Hardy.
Helen Mirren, if that's how you say her name. Yes. I don't know how to say her name.
Names are not your thing.
No, they're not my thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, people can't get Jermaine right. They call me Jerome, so it is what it is.
Why do you say that every time?
Because when I mess up with names, I'm like, if you think Jermaine is an easy name, people butcher it. So, and everybody says their name differently. You know what I mean?
That is true.
The kid from Auburn. The basketball player spells his name J-O-H-N-I.
Johnny.
Right. Johnny.
John. You would think it's Johnny. It's not.
John I.
No. You know?
Okay.
Have you not seen the Keegan and Kel skit? You never know how
Keenan and Kel.
Yeah, you never know how people say their names.
No, you're right about that. You're right.
It's A-A-Ron. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, but check it out, man. I tell you, it's the best show on TV right now.
All right. Courtney, I think you're going to be excited about this.
Ooh.
And so will anybody who is thinking about attending a sporting event or a concert. Yesterday, the President of the United States signed an executive order that he believes will help stop ticket scalping and bring common sense changes to the way that live events are priced. It is designed to stop price gouging by middlemen.
Yes.
And it directs the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, to ensure that scalpers offering tickets at higher prices than their face value comply with all kinds of IRS rules. And hopefully that will eliminate the over egregious amount of money that you have to pay to all kinds of different people when buying a ticket to go to a game or a concert. Here is the President of the United States with Kid Rock yesterday at the White House.
A friend of mine, Kid Rock, sometimes referred to as Bob. I know him as Bob, but he's been a good friend for a long time, many years. And he's been after something that is for the good of a lot of people, including in particular the public. And having to do with ticket sales and scalping and all of the gouging that you have been reading about, it's gotten worse and worse with time. But we came up with a very serious EO.
Anyone who's bought a concert ticket in the last decade, maybe 20 years, no matter what your politics are, knows that it's a conundrum. You buy a ticket for $100, by the time you check out, it's 170. You don't know what you're getting charged for, but more importantly, these bots. You know, they come in to get all the good tickets to your favorite shows you want to go to, and then they're relisted immediately for sometimes a 400 or 500% markup. And the artists don't see any of that money.
All right.
So true.
Sometimes known as Bob. Commonly referred to as Bob.
I know him as Bob.
We may need a hell note today from Trump guy.
Yeah.
Please.
Because he's really, really good.
He's got such great music.
But, I mean, I think we all would like a solution there. You were driven crazy trying to get tickets to see your queen.
Yeah.
And so I think I don't know if there is a solution, but it would be nice if there was one.
In Kid Rock, Bob is so right, because a lot of people try to blame the artist. The artist is not seeing that spike in prices. That's not their fault.
And the other thing that's gone on is the big sites that I can't mention by name.
Yeah.
They don't really make it clear what ticket you're buying, if it's from the team or if it's a resale. And then it should have all fees. Like, when you now, there are websites that you use that to book a flight or whatever, and you can just click a button that says, show me with all fees included.
Yeah.
Because you think you're getting a ticket for $150. By the time you check out, it's $400.
Yeah.
It's obscene.
And I'll give credit to the teams, because they have tried several different times in different ways to establish their own reselling sites or whatever, but that doesn't work, and you can't find the tickets that you want to go to a game. Like, Celtics playoffs are coming up. Like, you're going to have to pay because there's 2-3 middlemen and exorbitant amount of money to go see Celtics in the playoffs.
Right.
You know? So if there's a solution, I think it would be great. And it's certainly something that a lot of people are driven crazy.
Yeah,
by,
lower the fees on everything. There's a fee for everything nowadays. Yeah. So help us out.
All right. Those are our leads. We are going to get to They Said It coming up in just a little bit. And that includes a back and forth on what Ralphie Devers said about going over again yesterday. Over. Zero contact.
Yeah.
From Rafael Devers.
I think he's getting close, though. He's just about mid. I think he's ready to go tomorrow.
And we will drop some information on Roadshow Season 2025 next. So as soon as we're done with trending and take care of a little bit of business, we will introduce you to some of the information about the roadshows this upcoming roadshow season. Speaking of trending, here is Courtney right now.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the Health Connector for Business. The Celtics cruise to a 117-103 win in Memphis, making it 9 straight wins. A 6-0 road trip, which was the first in franchise history. They were without Jaylen Brown and Luke Kornet, and it was Al Horford who led the guys with 28 points. Jason Tatum had a double-double, 25 points and 14 rebounds. The Red Sox dropped their fourth straight, 8-5 in Baltimore. Rafi Devers struck out 3 times in this one, bringing his season total to 15. He's 0-19 so far. But the Sox making a big decision. They and Garrett Crochet have agreed on a 6-year, $170 million contract extension. It will officially start in 2026, and he does have an out in 2030. The Bruins are back in action tonight. They have the Capitals at the TD Garden. Puck drop is at 7, and we have the Final Four set for the women. On Friday, we'll see Texas take on South Carolina, and then UConn will take on UCLA.
And Ovi, what, 5 away from breaking Gretzky's record?
Mm-hmm. Yes. He's going to do. He's going to get all of them tonight against the Bruins. That's great. I mean, that's really exciting.
Yeah. And that was brought to you by Health Connector for Business. Companies interested in an employee health plan can go to mahealthconnector.org/business and filter right to premium value plans. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It's going to be nicer today. A little bit chilly, but not bad. 44 feels like 32. Going to warm up to the 50s.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
All right, coming up, we will get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports, and we will certainly go back and forth on what Rafael Devers said yesterday post-game after going 0-for again. But first, some information on the upcoming roadshow season. And if you're watching this show on Twitch or on YouTube, then you will be able to see the full entire roadshow schedule, minus the actual places where we will be.
Yes.
Because we thought we would draw this out a little bit this morning. So Let's go over the dates. We're starting a little bit later than we have in the past, and I think that that ensures great weather. And it also gets us into the final road show, and that happens on a very important, near a very important holiday, and in a really cool holiday spot. So in May, on May 2nd, on Friday, May 2nd, we will be in Massachusetts.
Correct.
Correct, Courtney?
That is correct.
Okay. On Friday, May 23rd, we will also be in Massachusetts.
Correct.
Correct. On May 30th, we are heading to Rhode Island.
Whoa.
Curtis, you're not happy about that, or you are happy?
I love Rhode Island.
Okay, all right.
We're huge down
okay.
there.
Okay, all right. And hello and good morning and thank you to all of our Rhode Island listeners on our Rhode Island affiliate.
And is that Memorial Day weekend? May 30th?
No, I believe that the previous weekend, the 23rd, is the start of Memorial Day weekend, and we will be starting it in Massachusetts.
Can I have a second lead related to the May 30th roadshow?
Yes.
What's the deal with Rhode Island? It's neither a road nor an island.
June 6th, we will be in Maine.
Yes.
My adopted home continent. June 13th, we are back in Massachusetts. June 20th, we are in New Hampshire.
All right.
Wiggy loves New Hampshire.
Love New Hampshire. No state tax.
June 27th, we are back in Massachusetts.
Yep.
All right.
And then, in a bit of a shocking twist, we will end the roadshow season on July 3rd, the day before the holiday, in New Hampshire. So, New Hampshire, you somehow ended up with two roadshows.
Yeah.
Because you showed up and showed out at last year's New Hampshire roadshow, or at least one of the New Hampshire roadshows. And Massachusetts ended up with one, two, three, and Maine and Rhode Island, or maybe Massachusetts gets four, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Four piece.
Okay. So, coming up at 8:10, I will reveal all of the cities, towns, and restaurants, bars, locations that we will be broadcasting from when it comes to this year's roadshow season.
It's huge.
Okay? And so it is, I would say that we've created a good mix of absolute must-return locations and new locations.
Correct.
For you. Okay? Jackson, let's get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me facing. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Time now for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And Shime, his final flex day today. Jackson filling, or final flex day of the week. He'll be back tomorrow. Jackson filling in. And where do you want to start this morning, Jackson?
Well, we'll start with the man of the hour, Rafi Devers, talking about his struggles as of late and if he feels like he's getting close to getting results.
Rafi, you mentioned how you felt pretty good today. How close do you feel, you know, to the results probably starting to come through for you?
Yeah, I don't know how far or close my hits are, but I feel like I'm like I said many times before, I feel good, I feel comfortable. I know the type of hitter that I am. I know that the hits are going to come sooner rather than later, and I feel comfortable. Like I said before, it's just a matter of time.
So, Wiggy, you were a professional athlete. Is this more about the mental or the physical in your mind?
All mental.
It's all mental.
All mental. Yeah, it's all mental. It's all from the neck up. Because most sports, and people will tell you, the physical part is like, you're in good shape, you know, he's strong.
Okay,
like,
well,
like that hasn't diminished.
Some would argue that he did not arrive at spring training in good shape.
Right, but even if you're out of shape a little bit, you're still a good hitter.
Okay.
You can get past, like, it's not like he's, you know,
turned 44.
Where
did that originally come from?
Mega.
Wait, hold on. What?
Where did that come from? Because we keep saying that he showed up out of shape, and like it was talked about on Mego said it, I know, but like from people that
everybody down there said it. When
everybody?
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I heard it first from Mego.
People were saying it. I mean, you guys saw it.
Jonathan Papelbon said it on the broadcast 2 nights ago.
Yeah, 2 nights ago he made a joke about it. But I think that talking about spring training and making it seem like it was this big narrative, when we saw him down at spring training, I didn't think he looked out of shape at all.
He looked fine to me.
So I'm just wondering who
down. Because you were saying that, and it was a good observation, that he didn't look like he had been reported to be.
So I'm asking because I didn't see it. Who reported it down in spring training? That's all I'm asking.
Oh,
was it just a rumor? Was it just people making jokes about his weight? Or was it actually reported he showed up to spring training and was out of shape? Because we keep bringing it up. So I just want to make sure that it's actually something that was being said.
Yeah, I bet it's like
quite frequently.
There were a lot of people talking about it. But listen, I have been the victim of those who over-exaggerate.
Mm-hmm.
What your weight condition is.
Right.
I go through it all the time on the Twitch chat. Like, people are always overestimating how many chins I have. It's not right. It's not fair. But it happens.
Yeah, it happens to all of not all of us. But I feel your pain, Greg. But I think how people view you when they see you. Is his sweatshirt a little big? And then they go, oh, okay, he's overweight. But
so from your perspective, this is all
mental. Yep.
And he became derailed when the team didn't have the confidence in him at third base. And that's what this all stems from.
It looks like it, because that's been the, you know, biggest talking point from his side, was the whole movement of it. And then, you know, I heard Jones and Keith talking about this yesterday, I guess, that they might have lied to him and said, oh, you're going to get the opportunity to play third base. And so
they weren't lying to him. They didn't know that they were going to have the opportunity to sign Alex Bregman.
But I guess this was after Bregman. They were talking about that.
No. I heard, I may have misheard what they said, but nobody has said, listen, they told him clearly that he was going to be their third baseman. They were investing in him, and they were, you know, going to spend $30 million a year on him. So, but they didn't know that they were going to have the opportunity to sign Alex Bregman in February.
Well, so I mean, maybe it's because you had the neuro, but Alex Cora sat right across from us in spring training and basically said that he's going to get an opportunity to compete for the job.
Well, did he not have the opportunity to compete for the job?
I mean, but just because your manager says it, I've been around professional sports, Greg, and you've been around it long enough to know that just because coaches or managers say one thing, it doesn't mean what they say. So I think a little bit was they blew smoke up his ass. And did he get butthurt about it? Yeah, but you shouldn't let getting butthurt about it affect how you perform. And clearly, mentally, he's in a very, very difficult place right now when it comes to hitting the baseball. And I don't know when it's going to change.
I mean, Curtis has said it multiple times, and he's right. He's got to get he has to get a hit before the home opener on Friday, or he is going to be abused.
Oh, it's going to be ugly. And there's a pretty good side-by-side, and I agree with Courtney. I don't think he showed up, like, gigantic. But MLB Network did a 5-minute video, one of their analysts, on why Devers is struggling. And there is a difference in the way he looks at the plate compared to last year. There is a bigger midsection.
That side-by-side is, like, so stretched, though. I know the one that you're talking about because I'm seeing it as well. And it's, like, I just, again.
So why do you think he's struggling? You think it's only because he's not playing third base?
Yes. And so, I think that it affected him mentally. And the fact that we can't comprehend that, okay, we're all humans are different, so I can't put myself in Rafael Devers' shoes. I'm just saying, we keep saying he showed up to spring training out of shape. And I don't, I'm not saying that anyone's lying. I'm not doubting anything. I'm just asking for a specific article, a specific TV hit from spring training, the beginning of it, where someone said Rafael Devers has showed up and he's out of shape. He is not prepared.
Right.
Because I don't remember that at all. I remember going down to Florida and us all being excited for the season, then everybody getting down to spring training, and there was this narrative.
Right,
and
but why were you correcting a narrative if the narrative didn't exist?
What?
When we were down at spring training.
Mego said it on this show.
I know. So what were you correcting if nobody was saying it was actually the
case? Mego said he looked out of shape. And I said, I'm looking at him right now and he doesn't. That's right. What I was correcting. I'm asking who down in spring training.
Sean McAdam.
Maybe we'll get it from Mego tomorrow where she heard it
Who did it?
Sean McAdam.
Okay, where is that?
MassLive.com.
Okay, he said it at the beginning of spring training?
I don't know the exact date of its report. It's most of these comments are not in print. Most of these guys, whether it's a podcast or elsewhere, they talk about it in ways they don't write about it.
Okay, I'm just saying I don't remember it being this big talked about thing when they all reported to spring training.
But even then, we've seen Pablo Sandoval and we've seen Prince Phil, the fat guys hit the baseball.
Well, fat guys hit the baseball all of a sudden.
Fat guys
can DH. Yeah. Oftentimes, the fat guy is the DH.
Right.
And a lot of the reporting was muted at the beginning of camp because everyone was told he's going to be in the lineup this week.
I don't see a major difference.
It's just crazy to me.
Those are my eyes. Maybe somebody else does.
I also think, like, we're all so quick. We Google immediately to find the report. There's none. I've asked a million times. Just show me something. It was, I wasn't here, but I believe Mego made a joke about it on the show with you. And then all of a sudden, it was talked about. And when Wiggy and I saw him down there, we said, he doesn't look any different. He doesn't look like he's gained a ton of weight or is out of shape.
Right, because he didn't get on the field. And as it prolonged, the first appearance in spring went from March 1st to March 8th to March 15th. And then I think he made his debut in the third week of March.
But Curtis, your narrative has been that he showed up to spring training out of shape.
Right, because he wasn't able to play.
He was hurt all at the end of last
season. You showed a video
season.
Of February of him hitting bombs. Now he's hurt. Make your mind up.
Yeah. My mind's made up.
So how is he hitting bombs if he was hurt?
It's called rehab.
I just told you he didn't show up out of shape. We saw a video of him hitting bombs. So then I think it's a mental thing when it comes to the fact that he wasn't playing third base.
I'm not mad about anything.
No, You seem pretty, like, rehab. You just said make up your mind. My mind's made up.
Well, that's rehab. So he was healthy.
No. That's rehab, Curtis. We've seen guys hit baseballs before. We've seen guys in practice run up and down the court.
Well, you can play a simulated game. There's a lot of ways that you can play where they can do it.
But that doesn't mean just because you're taking BP that you're not hurt.
Why did the Red Sox keep saying he was going to play and then he didn't play?
It was a bit of a temper tantrum on his fault.
We all agree on that.
Because Alex Cora kept saying, Rafi's going to play tomorrow. And then Rafi wouldn't play tomorrow.
Right.
Rafi's going to play Saturday. And then Rafi wouldn't play Saturday.
Right.
We think the player is going to play on Monday, and then Rafi wouldn't play on Monday.
Right.
Like, I mean, let's be honest.
But we all agree, though.
He was pulling a hissy fit.
Right. We agree with you, though. You keep saying that. Yeah. Courtney and I have agreed with you from day one.
But that's why it wasn't that he was injured and he didn't play in spring training. He was pulling his own little one-man protest.
Okay, I'm sorry I used the word injured.
Yeah.
Wiggy and I were talking about it was like he was still coming back from an injury.
Yeah, well, right. I think
so. He wasn't in game shape.
Oh, God. Okay, you're right, Curtis.
So when you look at this, you're just always right. Curtis, you know that people could come back from an injury and say, I'm not ready to play because I'm not 100%.
Right, and I don't think Papelbon was kidding. I think he called him fat. Like, that's Papelbon.
If he's a little bit overweight, so be it. The reason why he's not hitting the baseball is because he's 5-6 pounds overweight.
Right, because he wasn't in game shape because he didn't play because he was pouting.
The reason why he's not hitting the baseball is because it's all upstairs.
You're saying the reason why he's not hitting the baseball is because he's butthurt?
Yes.
It's a bigger butt, too.
That's wild to me.
But that's the truth of it.
That is wild
It's a
to
mental
me.
Thing for him. It's not this. Even if he is overweight by 6 pounds, it's not the. He didn't come in into spring training looking like Luther Vandross.
Right.
He came in 5-6 pounds overweight.
That's a stray.
I love Luther, but I'm just saying Luther's way
fluctuated. We mentioned him twice. We need to protect him.
So I would say this. It is all mental, because even if you're a few pounds overweight, you're telling me you still can't hit the baseball?
And this is Papelbon on Devers the other night.
Maybe he's out of shape. I don't know about both of them, but, you know, game shape, playing shape. But, you know, maybe we got to trim a little bit of fat, Jim. You know what happens when you trim fat?
Well, we know they're not hitting shape, right? So they're not hitting. Okay, go ahead. We're talking about trimming fat. What happened?
Pig squeal.
Oh.
Where's this going?
No, go ahead. I'm just saying, like, you trim fat, pig squeal. Pig squeal. I mean, that's what you're looking for your pigs to squeal.
They need some squeal.
Hit home runs.
They need some squealing.
Yeah, he seemed very serious.
He said maybe, right?
Well, and Courtney has to be right.
But I would say, Greg, and that's why I believe that it is all mental. It is all mental. And, yes, it is because he was butthurt. You and I agree that he did throw a hissy fit, and he was, I want to take my ball and go home, and he shouldn't have done that, or he shouldn't let that affect his performance. Yeah. But is all – the reason why he can't hit the baseball is because of – all that stuff that's gone on.
Who was a better singer, Fat Luther or Thin Luther?
Oh, it didn't matter. Luther could blow, fat or skinny.
What about Adele?
It did not matter. Luther has probably the best voice that we've ever heard in music history.
All right. We're going to take a break. We will continue with They Said It coming up in just a little bit. And at 8:10, the rest of the roadshow details for the 2025 roadshow season. Roadshows this season presented by Miller Lite and brought to you by Harbor One Bank and by Absolute Ocean Spray canned cocktails, which are delish. So hang on for the details on where you can come and hang out with us this spring and summer. We'll give you those at 8:10, and we will get to the rest of They Said It next.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Need a slump buster to get rid of the ball and chain that is weighing Rafael Devers down.
I don't know, man. And something.
Something. This is Nick from Lowell. Hello, Nick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Just wanted to kind of talk about Devers, how it kind of compares to Swayman a little bit in terms of that they had a rough offseason in terms of the organization versus the kind of player. And also that Swayman had a very tumultuous offseason.
Yes.
And kind of mentally impacted him for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Kind of compares to Devers. I just hope it doesn't happen for the rest of the year. Thank you, guys.
No, that's a good point. Right. I mean, you have issues with the organization, and you're unable, apparently, to recover when it comes to the mental part of getting your game back. So, although, I think Jeremy Swayman, we talked about this briefly earlier, has a chance to get in the history books tonight when he gives up 5 in a row to Alex Ovechkin. So that will be a positive.
At least he made a couple stops early in the year, Swayman.
That'll be a positive for him. Yeah. So, all right. We're a little late on news. We'll get to the news coming up, but we were in the middle of They Said It. What is next, Jackson?
Next, we pivot to football, and we hear Elliot Wolf talk about Travis Hunter, offense, defense, who knows?
What's sexier? Stephon Diggs with Travis Hunter or Christian Gonzalez with Travis Hunter?
That's a great question. And I think, you know, if he's available, which is a huge question mark, that'll be up to the coaching staff to determine, you know, where he's going to fit in and also if we would even pick him.
Huh.
All right.
I know a lot of what is said by GMs and by coaches in advance of the draft is subterfuge. So I understand that, but they're talking a lot about Will Campbell. It's going to disappoint me if there's either of those two guys, Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, on the board at 4,
right?
And they draft for need when they said they weren't going to draft.
Yeah, way they could do that.
You hear them talk it like they Mike Vrabel was gushing about him yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's just, you know,
trying to throw people off.
Yeah, and I think that's just, you know, NFL head coach, you know, politically correct talk. I think if you're the Patriots and you're at number 4 and Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter are there, you're taking whichever one of those guys is available, my opinion, is what they're going to do, because those will be the two best guys. Well, the two best guys left on the board. If it is what some people are saying, Cam Ward number one, Shador number two, Travis number three, and then if you're there and Abdul Carter's there at four, there's no way you take Will Campbell over Abdul Carter.
Okay. All right.
What about the arms?
The arms being short, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Yeah, ain't got nothing to do with it.
They call those Ken arms.
I mean, short arms, small hands.
Yeah. Right. Matt Light was a really good offensive tackle, and I don't think he had, like, these ridiculously long arms either.
I hope Susie Light isn't listening. She's an everyday listener of the show, and you're insulting her husband's
arms. No, I'm just saying, I don't think they were, like, the, you know, standard 6'7 guy who has these 36-inch arms. I think, you know, I don't know what they were, measured at, but Matt was an unbelievable tackle. It doesn't matter. It's all about your technique at that point.
Yeah. Maybe we need to do some kind of a couple arm transplant for Rafael Devers. Oof. Like, get him longer arms.
Is it longer, or maybe they need to be shorter?
Oh, you want to shorten them up.
Yeah, because shorter.
Can you do that?
Maybe quicker swing.
I guess you could, yeah. You go in and get surgery.
Well, they have the surgery now where they can make you taller.
What?
Yeah. What? Have you not seen this?
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
How?
Man, how do you guys, you guys are not into what's going on in world of pop culture.
Yeah,
it's all over the place. Guys are getting, they're getting like these, what's it called? Femur extensions, and they're getting taller. Curtis,
really?
You're our Google guy.
I'm sorry. I just found an interesting nugget from Dan Shaughnessy.
It's all over the place.
Oh dear.
People are getting height surgery.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Good for the guys of Boston.
Yeah.
I'm working on it right now.
Yeah, it would be.
Wait,
really
what'd
good.
You find from what'd you find from Shaughnessy?
Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe noted that Devers is listed in the Red Sox media guide at 245 pounds, 10 pounds more than he was listed last year, by far the heaviest he's been during his Red Sox career. He looks big, almost panda big, and that was in February.
All right.
Wiggy's Susie Light, Mrs. Light, says, you're right. I refer to him as the tiny tackle.
She already got back to you?
Yes.
That is amazing.
Yes. I mean, tiny tackle.
She's a marvelous woman. Have you ever met her?
Oh, she's the best.
I think I've had the pleasure. She called in maybe once and was very nice.
The best and everyday listener.
She's so amazing.
Love her.
But he wasn't the prototype as 6'7", you know, and look what he was able to do in the career he had. So, I mean, if that's what they're saying, we'll see. But hopefully it's Abdul Carter.
Anything else, Jackson?
We have Mike Tomlin talking about his meeting with Aaron Rodgers.
He's a free agent. As you guys know, he came to visit last Friday. We had a really productive day. He's been in this thing a long time. I've been in this thing a long time. But there's no substitute for, you know, intimacy and spending time together and getting to know one another in a non-competitive environment. And so that was really good. But I don't have any new updates in terms of where the process is. We'll see where it leads us.
Who's the problem in the relationship? Who's reluctant to get it done?
Aaron.
Is it? It is?
For sure.
You think it's money?
You think the Steelers want him, and it's just he's waiting.
I think he's a diva. I think he's just saying, oh, I'm waiting to see. He's going to wait till the last
They'll
moment.
Get it done, because you see who he was running, working on routes with. It was DK Metcalf. They'll get it done.
I feel like Courtney might be right about this, though. Like, I really hope the Steelers, they're such a, you know, a franchise built on ground up. Like, they're never the number one team going after the highest priced free agent.
Right.
They built this culture where even their down years with Tomlin are better than the last 2 years combined with the Patriots. Rodgers just sucks.
But you're a playoff team and you need a quarterback.
I just think he sucks the energy out of every
place. Like a quarterback?
But what do you do?
But don't you think Mike Tomlin is the kind of coach that can handle it?
Yeah. I think Mike Tomlin is that type of guy. I think it's really about Aaron Rodgers. Does he respect the guy that is the head coach? And does he respect the offensive coordinator? So, and if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're a playoff team, you need a quarterback. Who's left? Who are you going to go with?
But Wiggs, I feel like he, quote, respected and praised the Jets up and down until he didn't play well and
needed to
blame
someone. But do you really think he respected Robert Saleh?
Think he respects anybody.
I mean, maybe he doesn't, but just based on Tomlin being there for so long. And if you're Pittsburgh, what other option do you have?
Not many. There's zero. Left. Yeah.
But I would say, how many NFL quarterbacks was Aaron Rodgers better than last year?
I would say he's better than the guys that are on the list that are free agents. He's better than Joe Flacco. Who else is on that list? That
is he
might...
better than Joe Milton?
Well, you'd have to trade for Joe Milton.
I mean,
Brian Hoyer says, you know, Joe Milton's really good. I'll tell you, it's just there's nobody left.
No, I think they'll end up getting it done, and this will be it.
I mean, they went after Russell Wilson last year.
Yeah.
So.
All right. That's They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And we will get to Courtney in today's news next, including how creepy is it and what a dude did on a flight to a sleeping woman, which actually has Courtney very conflicted this morning.
Kind of jealous.
That is coming up next.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.